Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I thought we could start out with a little show and tell this morning. So I've brought with me a piece of a broken taillight from an old Chevrolet. It's just this small red piece of glass. But what you will find if you look this up online is that this broken piece of a taillight comes from a Chevy that was built somewhere in the 1930s. And so this piece of glass is around 90 years old. L.H. West and George Bauman, they actually discovered this little artifact when they were digging the hole for the time capsule. Now, we don't know the true story as to why this was buried in the ground, but we've come up with a story of our own. And that is that maybe back in the 1950s when they were building that old church sign over there, that maybe someone backed into it, broke their taillight, and they just chunked it into the ground where they were building the sign, and it ended up getting covered over the years and only to be discovered by them just a couple of weeks ago. But regardless of how it got into the ground, as I look at this light cover, I'm amazed at how it has stood the test of time. I'm not sure that if this was a light cover from a car today, one of these plastic light covers, I'm not sure that it would have lasted as long as this has and that it would be as in as good of condition as this is. I think the old saying is true, they don't make stuff like this anymore, amen? But this light cover has endured because it was built to be strong. It has endured because it was created to endure. So last week we launched into this new series titled The Enduring Church, and as we're going through this series, we're looking at timeless truths in the book of Titus that are worth holding on to. And this ties back into the vision that I cast for us as a church at the start of this year, that we would hold on to the things worth holding on to. And certainly as we look at the book of Titus, there are rich truths that are worth holding on to, both as individuals and as a church. And as we hold on to these things, they will help us to endure in our walks with the Lord. So let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. Now, I'm using our 150th anniversary celebration as a springboard for this series, because as we think about the future of First Baptist Church Stockdale, as we think about the next 50 to 150 years, the question becomes, how do we get there as a church? How do we continue to move this church forward? And I believe that as we look at these truths in the book of Titus, and as we commit to hold on to these truths, we will have a church that is strong. We will have a church that has been built to endure, not just for the first 150 years, but for the next 150 years as well. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Titus chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 10 through 16 this morning. Titus chapter 1, 10 through 16. And as you're turning there, I want to take you back to what we saw in verse 9 in our message last week. If you remember, Paul left Titus in Crete in order to raise up elders, in order to raise up pastors for the churches in Crete so that they would have faithful leadership who would proclaim truth from God's word, that sinners would be saved, and that believers would grow in their faith. And so speaking of pastors in verse 9, we read that they need to hold on to the faithful message as taught so that they will be able to both to encourage with sound teaching and refute those who contradict it. Now, while Paul is talking about the call for pastors here, I said this last week, but the things that we see here in the list are not just for pastors. These are for all believers. As believers, we are all called to abstain from sin and walk in holiness. In the same way, as believers, we are all called to hold on to the truth of God's word. This is the faithful message that Paul is talking about that these pastors needed to hold on to. Not their own ideas, not their own opinions. What they needed to hold on to was the truth of God's word. And this is true for every single one of us. It's not just true for pastors that we need to hold on to the truth of God's word. If you are a Christ follower, every single one of us is called to hold on to the truth of God's word. And we see a couple of reasons why we should hold on to the truth of God's word in verse 9. I want to explore these with you for just a moment. First, we should hold on to the truth of God's word because God's word is an encouragement to us. Paul said that as we hold on to the faithful message of God's word, that we are able to encourage with sound teaching. And I have found this to be true in my own life, and maybe you found this to be true in your life as well. When we go through difficult times, when we go through dark times, God's word is able to give us hope and an encouragement in a way that the things of this world simply cannot do. This is why when I talk with families to prepare for funerals, I'll tell them the first half of the funeral service, that's going to be focused on honoring the individual that passed away. But the second half of the service, it's going to be focused on God's word, and we're going to honor Jesus Christ. Because I know that in that time, they don't simply need to hear words from their pastor. They need to hear God's word. They need to hear the truth from God's word so that they will have hope and encouragement. They'll receive that in a way that I can't do that with my own words. God's word encourages us. But not only does God's word encourage us in difficult times or in dark times, God's word encourages us to persevere as believers. God's word encourages us in times of persecution. God's word encourages us to walk in obedience. It encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, as we continue to run this race that has been marked out for us. God's word is an encouragement to us, but second, we should hold on to the truth of God's word because God's word holds us accountable. Paul said that as we hold on to the faithful message of God's word, that we can refute those who contradict it. Now, part of that would be apologetics or the defense of our faith. But the other part of that is that as we encounter the lies of this world that contradict God's word is what helps us to remain on the right path. There's a couple of examples that I'll give you from Scripture. One's a bad example, one's a good example. The bad example is Adam and Eve. When they encountered Satan in the garden and he began to twist God's word, instead of holding on to what God truly said, they believed what Satan had to say, they gave in to their temptation, and here we are in the mess that we're in today. But when Jesus encountered Satan in the wilderness, and Satan began to use God's word and twist God's word to tempt Jesus, Jesus went back to the truth of God's word. And he resisted the temptations of Satan with God's word, and Jesus revealed himself once again to be our perfect Messiah. You see, God's word holds us accountable because God's word is our standard. And if something falls short of this standard, if we're holding on to the truth of God's word, then we will quickly see how something falls short. We'll be able to go back to the truth of God's word so that we can continue to walk rightly in obedience to God. So God's word holds us accountable. We're going to see more of this call to remain faithful to the truth of God's word in our passage this morning. So with that in mind, let's read our passage, Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Says, for there are many rebellious people full of empty talk and deception, especially those from the circumcision party. It is necessary to silence them. They are ruining entire households by teaching what they shouldn't in order to get money dishonestly. One of their very own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply so that they may be sound in the faith and may not pay attention to Jewish myths and the commands of people who reject the truth. To the pure, everything is pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their mind and conscience are defiled. They claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we read there in verse 15, and I'll read it to you again. It says, to the pure, everything is pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their mind and conscience are defiled. There's two categories that we see here, the pure and the unbelieving, or we could rename these to say the believing and the unbelieving, or the saved and the unsaved, those who have called upon the name of Jesus, those who have not called upon the name of Jesus. Now understand, as we say that believers are pure, this is what we're not saying. We are not saying believers are perfect. In fact, another way to say this would be to say believers are not perfect, believers are forgiven. You see, apart from Jesus, our hearts are just as vile. Apart from Jesus, our hearts are just as defiled. Apart from Jesus, we desire to walk in sin just like anybody else. But when we called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, Jesus forgave us, Jesus washed us clean, and Jesus made us pure, giving us a new desire to walk in obedience to him, not because of our flesh, but because of the Spirit that is now inside of us. Jesus has made us pure. In other words, we could say that we get to share in Christ's purity. So believers are not perfect, believers are forgiven. And if you're an unbeliever today, if you would say that you've never given your life to Christ, then I would invite you today, call upon the name of Jesus, that he might forgive you, that you might be washed clean, that you might be made pure as well. But now as we continue to walk through this passage, there are four things that I want us to see as we continue to think about the importance of holding on to the truth of God's word if we want to be an enduring church. First thing I want you to see is that lies are lies regardless of who speaks them. Let's read verse 10 again. It says, for there are many rebellious people full of empty talk and deception, especially those from the circumcision party. Lies are lies, regardless of who speaks them. Who did Paul say were speaking this empty talk and deception? He said it was coming from those in the circumcision party. In other words, it was coming from the Jews, or it was coming from Jews who had begun practicing Christianity, but they were still trying to enforce circumcision or laws from the Jewish practice. They were still trying to enforce this upon believers, upon Christ's followers. We see this clearly in the book of Galatians. Now, as we think about the Jewish people, as we think about the circumcision party, this was certainly a well-known group of people. And among some, they were a well-respected group of people. But regardless of how well-known they might have been, regardless of how well-respected they might have been, the things that they were saying and the things that they were teaching were still untrue. They were still lies. So let me say it again. Lies are lies regardless of who speaks them. And this is important for us to remember because this is still true for us today. Lies are still lies regardless of who speaks them. You know, we live in a culture today where many times celebrities get elevated, get put up on pedestals, whether we're talking about actors and actresses, whether we're talking about musical artists, political candidates, social media celebrities, because that's a thing now, right? And so as we think about all of these famous people, all of these celebrities, many times we give them a voice in our lives. We allow them to speak into our lives because we enjoy their entertainment, because they're well-known, because they're well-respected. But listen, just because they are well-known, just because they are well-respected, does not mean that they still cannot speak untrue things. In fact, at the end of the day, they are people just like you and I are people, and they can still say true things, and they can still say untrue things just like you and I can. And so regardless of who says it, we must examine what is said against the truth of God's word. Remember, God's word is our standard, not our own thoughts, not our own feelings, not our opinions, not celebrities, not political candidates. God's word is our standard, so we must examine what is said against the truth of God's word so that we can determine whether something is worthy of listening to or whether it's just empty talk and deception. And listen, I encourage you to do that even with my words. Even though I'm up here on the platform week in and week out, you need to take what I say back to the truth of God's word. Examine what I say against God's word and make sure that what I am saying is truth. Because listen, you don't want a false teacher up here. This church is not going to endure because of false teaching. This church will only endure if we continue to stand on the truth of God's word. So lies are lies regardless of who speaks them. The second thing I want you to see is that lies and false teachings ruin families. Let's look at verse 11 again. It says, it's necessary to silence them. They are ruining entire households by teaching what they shouldn't in order to get money dishonestly. Lies and false teachings ruin family. Now, most of us in here have families. I think we can agree on that. Our families may look different from one another, but most of us has a family in some form or fashion. And so it's important that not only are we walking in the truth of God's word, but that our families are doing the same. Paul was warning Titus that entire households in Crete were being ruined by false teaching. Now, why is this important? Because households, especially at that time, contained multiple generations. So here in Stockdale, we have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and children and cousins that all live in the same town, all live in the same community, sometimes all live on the same property. But in that time, it was very common for multiple generations to live in the same household. And so for a household to be ruined by false teachings, it meant that multiple generations were being led astray by these false teachings. And so as we think about our church enduring for the next 50 to 150 years, we have to remember that our church is made up of multiple generations, and praise God for that. Praise God that this is a multi-generational church. And so we must live today with the next generation in mind, which means we must reject false teachings today. We must silence lies today so that just as we hold firm to the truth of God's word today, that generations in the future, that our children and our grandchildren and their children would grow up continuing to stand on the truth of God's word, that this church would continue to stand on the truth of God's word as well. We must live today with the next generation in mind. Lies and false teachings ruin families, but may it never be said that lies and false teachings ruin this church family here at First Baptist Church, Stockdale. The third thing I want you to see is that lies must be corrected with the truth. Let's look at verses 13 and 14 again. It says, "This testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply so that they may be sound in the faith and may not pay attention to Jewish myths and the commands of people who reject the truth." Lies must be corrected with the truth. So I've shared this before, so some of you may remember this, but when Emily was younger, our daughter Emily, when she was much younger, I would sometimes have to brush her hair. And her hair, when she was younger, was really fine. It got tangled very easily. And so as I was brushing her hair, she would sometimes cry and she'd say, "Daddy, stop." And I'd say, "I can't. I have to brush it." And she'd say, "But it hurts." I'd say, "I know, but if I don't brush the tangles out, you're going to have a bigger mess to deal with later on." This is what I've learned over the years. Correction can be painful, but correction is necessary. We may not always like being corrected. If something we believe is wrong, and maybe we've believed it for a long time, if something we believe is wrong and that has to be corrected, that can be painful. If something we have said or done is wrong, it can be painful when we are corrected. But even though correction may be painful, correction is necessary. And this is absolutely true in families and within a church. If lies and false teachings have begun to take over our families, this is absolutely necessary. It is necessary to address these lies and false teachings so that we can once again live and walk in such a way that aligns with the truth of God's word. Correction can be painful, but correction is necessary. And so Paul told Titus that these false teachers were to be corrected sharply. In other words, Paul was saying to Titus, don't beat around the bush, don't tread lightly, address it head on. Because what happens when we allow for lies and false teachings to remain, if undealt with like those tangles in the hair, you end up with a bigger mess later on. So lies must be corrected with the truth. The fourth and final thing that I want you to see is that lies and truth are revealed in our actions. Let's look at verse 16 again. It says, "They claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work." Lies and truth are revealed in our actions. In other words, if you want to know if someone is telling the truth to you or not, don't just look at the words, don't just listen to their words, look at their actions. So some of you may be familiar with and remember the company Enron. Enron was once a highly respected energy company, and it was known for its strong public statements about ethical business practices and corporate responsibility. In fact, the CEO and founder both often spoke about their commitment to transparency, integrity, and creating value for the shareholders. But behind the scenes, they were involved in extensive accounting fraud and financial manipulation. They were using complex tricks to hide debt and inflate profits. They were deceiving their investors. They were deceiving the public. They were deceiving employees. But ultimately, the truth came out, and the truth wasn't revealed in what they were saying all that time. The truth was revealed in their actions. Lies and truth are revealed in our actions. This is true for a believer. This is true for an unbeliever as well. Regardless of what we say, how we live will ultimately reflect what's truly in our hearts. We may be able to deceive people for a time, but ultimately the truth will come out. It will be seen in how we live. And so in order for our church to endure, we must be a people committed to the truth. And we must be a people committed not just to preaching the truth, not just looking at the truth in God's word. Yes, we need to do those things, but we also must live the truth out every single day in our lives. not just when we're in this building together, but when we go out to the workplace, when we go out into our homes, when we go out into the schools, we must be committed to living out the truth. Lies and truth are revealed in our actions. And so may we be a people of truth here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, learning, studying, growing in the truth, but also walking in the truth each and every day. As we look ahead to the future of this church, may this church always be known not for lies and false teachings, but may this church always be known for standing on the truth. And as we stand on the truth, may we also be an enduring church. But listen, before we can endure, first we must begin. And if you have never begun that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have never called upon Him to be the Lord of your life, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. Maybe you're here today and you would say, that's me, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never confessed Jesus as Lord, but today I recognize the sin that's in my life. And I'm ready to turn from that sin. And I'm ready to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond this morning. As we sing this song, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. I'm going to be standing right down front. I would invite you to join me. Today can be the day of your salvation. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. We've got several more baptisms on the schedule. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and get your baptism on the schedule as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to commit, to connect my life with this body of believers. As we have endured for the first 150 years, I want to be a part of what God does for the next 150 years. And so if God's calling you to become a member of this church body, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.